All right. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okie doke. Well, son, it's good to be here.
Amen.
I tell you, it's good to get to a place where people are real. Amen.
Amen.
I tell you, son, you just get in there and just kind of feel right at home. Amen. I mean, down there we're from, down south, it's kind of like that. We're just pretty simple.
Amen, bro.
And we get born again, love God, and have a good time serving Him. Amen.
Amen.
And it's just good to get up here and meet Brother Ryman, see all the good folks here. And it's good to be in Delaware. I like the country up here.
Amen.
And I've been kind of like a rolling stone for the past 3 months. And I started out in May and got that old bus and worked with the veterans down there. And Lord said, go to New York. Went to New York. And then I started figuring out, now what am I going to do on the way back? So we wound up here, and God's good. Amen. God's good to us. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm chapter 16. Psalms chapter 16. Preacher's talking about the devil. Down there, somebody said to us, they told me, he said, yeah, he's chained. I said, yeah, he's chained to my leg. Because every time I turn around, that sucker's acting up. Amen. But Psalm 16, verse 6, the Bible says, David said, the lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. This morning, as I've thought about it, being on the road, just looking at the way things are and the way things are going, had time to get in places and just sit still and think, I've just found out what a good heritage we have. Back in 1600s, if you know history, and a lot of folks don't know history, and that's a problem nowadays, is folks don't know the history of the country we live in. And in 1620, those pilgrims, they were in England. They were persecuted by the Catholic Church. So they went to Holland. And when they got to Holland, then the president or whatever you call it of Holland made a pact with King James. And King James says, I want to be in charge of all the English people in Holland. Well, the pilgrims knew then that if that happened, the Catholics were going to come to Holland and they were going to be persecuted again. So they fled Holland and they got on that Mayflower. And they came to America, and when they got here in 1620, they got off that boat on the ground, and they said, God, we want a place to worship you where we won't get killed for it.
Amen. Yeah.
And God said, this is the place. And worship me. And God's took care of this country ever since 1620. Two more years, it'll be 400 years since those men knelt down and asked God to give them a place to know Him. And God's taken care of America ever since those men bowed down and asked Him to.
Amen.
He's took care of this place.
Yep.
This is the best country in the world. Yes. The whole world wants to come here. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody down there in Houston, I talked to a lot of folks from other countries, and I asked them, I said, how do you feel about America? They say, this is heaven. This is like coming to heaven. Amen.
Yeah.
And God made it that way.
Yeah.
I've been up and down the road the last few months talking to a lot of veterans, and I'll be able to speak where they're at. And I get up there and tell them, men, women, look here. We got the best country because we got the best God in the
Amen.
World.
Amen.
And God made this country. You ain't got to worry about the economy. You ain't got to worry about the ozone. You ain't got to worry about all it because God made it, and He's taking care of it until He decides what to do with it later on.
Amen.
Until then, what we can do is just rejoice. Amen.
Right.
We can just be glad where we're at. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so David says here, I have a goodly heritage. We got a goodly heritage in America because of what God did. But not only that, we got a heritage when we get born again.
Amen.
And know the Lord Jesus. The root word of heritage is inheritance. 30 times in the Bible, the prophet God calls Israel His inheritance. An inheritance has cost somebody something.
That's right, yeah. Amen.
This is called the benefactor. It might be parents, it might be relatives, it might be some friend who left you something. They are the benefactor. It was free. Somebody else paid for it, amen.
Yeah.
Oh, we got a goodly heritage, it's free.
Amen.
Somebody else paid for it, amen.
That's right.
Yeah, someone who loved you,
amen,
with an everlasting love.
Amen.
I mean, someone you were close to, someone you love. Let me ask you this more. How close are you to the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
How close are you to him? Well, he's going to leave you something anyway. You say, I'm not real close to him. Well, even the worst children are in the will, amen, okay?
Yeah, right.
Amen. You can't lose. I remember old Gate Mouth Brown, that old blues singer back here, he sang a song, I can't lose with the stuff I use. But I tell you what, when you get born again, you find something 100 times better than that, amen?
Right.
And this is only for a few. Someone who thought about your future and my future.
Yeah.
It's only for the favored. Only those who the benefactor is fond of. He's fond of us.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. As sorry as we are,
amen,
and he's fond of us.
That's right.
He loves you more than your mama. Amen.
Yep.
He loves you more than anybody. I looked up synonyms for the word benefactor, and this is what I found. Number one, Savior. Oh. I mean, number one, right out of the gate. Savior, amen. And then I heard another one, hero. Any of y'all old enough to remember Mighty Mouse?
Yeah.
Man, I loved Mighty Mouse, amen. Son, you remember old Wolf Can Harry, Oil Can Harry, the old wolf?
Yeah.
And you remember Pearl Pure Heart? And old Oil Can Harry, the wolf, he was always taking Pearl Pure Heart and tying her to the railroad tracks?
Yeah.
And then she starts singing, oh, Mighty Mouse. And here he come. He go, here I come to save the day. Amen, son. And he'll snatch her up just before the train comes. Amen.
Amen.
Hero, hero. That's our Savior.
Amen.
One in a million. Oh, he's one in a million.
Yes, sir.
He's one. He's the best. A man among men. It's a synonym for our Savior. A man among. I mean, how many of y'all, if somebody rub. I mean, they said, look here, everybody slap you around, spit on you? Huh? How many of you are just going to lay there and do nothing? Rip your beard out? Huh? No, But Jesus did.
Yeah.
The Bible says, as a lamb before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Amen. We couldn't do it, but he did it. He's a man among men.
That's right.
He could do it.
That's right.
He could take it. And not say a word, amen. Not say nothing, amen. We got a wonderful benefactor who left us a goodly heritage. The first thing is Psalm 61:5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. This morning, we've got a heritage of those who've gone before us who feared God.
Amen.
And taught us how to know him and walk with him and serve him. Men like Brother Lester Roloff and Brother J. Frank Norris down there in Fort Worth and Brother Edgar Thomas and L.L. Morris and Brother Jack Wood and all these men that trained us. Hey, 30 years ago, our vow was, God, whatever it takes. I want to be the best for you.
Amen.
Well, we didn't know what whatever it takes meant then. But we got a better idea now. Amen. And still, we pray whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. I mean, we would fast for 3, 7, 10, 30 days. Why? Why? We wanted the heritage of those that feared his name. Brother Wood taught us back then, he said, you got to know God for yourself. He said, I'm going to croak and I ain't going to be around forever. So you got to learn to know him for yourself.
Amen.
Once you know him for yourself, you won't quit.
That's right.
I hear these guys up and down the country, everybody preaching, don't quit. How in the world are you going to quit this?
That's right.
Huh? Hey, If you got born again, you're in. Amen.
Right.
You can't get out.
That's right.
Somebody said, well, you can jump out. Well, God's got a pretty big hand. That'd be a pretty good broad jump. They need you in the Olympics. Amen.
Yeah.
If you can jump out of his hand, amen,
that's
you can't
right.
get out.
Yes, sir.
Quit? Who in the world want to quit? Good God Almighty. Hey, before I got saved, son, all I sang was a blues back then. But boy, when Jesus saved me, I mean, who'd have thought we could work for God?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I got to pinch myself. Is this real?
Amen.
That we could work for God, the one that made this mud ball we're standing on, we could work for him.
Yeah.
And know him and talk with him.
Amen.
And have him talk back to us. Amen. Good God Almighty, son, who'd have thought?
Amen.
Lord have mercy. Amen. Quit. Quit. Quit what?
Yeah.
We ain't even got started yet.
Yes, sir. Now, have some words with
you. Brother Earl, you said, man, you can't stop a wheel if it ain't rolling.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Those who feared his name, amen. We learned from those men that there was a cost. You know, I got born again back in 1981. I didn't go to church before then. I used to look at them Christians and I think, man, you know, we was out there, we was all, you know, bad life and everything, all messed up life. And we'd look at them Christians and go, man, what a horrible way to live. Dude, who want to live like that? Golly, man, you know, go to church all the time, you know, don't never do nothing, don't have to have no fun. All this fun we're having, going to jail and get some knots on our head and everything else, you know, having all this fun we're having. And I said, man, who in the world want to live like that? Then I got born again. I said, man, I should have done this 15, 20 years ago. It'd have saved a whole lot of heartache, amen. A whole lot of trouble. Plus what I did to everybody else, it'd have saved them some stuff too, amen. But we found out there was a cost. There was a cost to it. I went to church for the first time when I was 26 years old. We didn't go to church when we was kids. Our folks didn't take us to church. There's a bunch of outlaws and gangsters, and they didn't go to church anywhere. We used to laugh at them, but I found out there was a cost. When I went in that church there in 1981, I didn't know nothing about God. I was so dumb, I didn't suspect nothing. But I went in there and I said, there's something in here I need.
Amen.
I had no buddy of mine. He was a dope fiend. He brought me down there. He got born again, brought me down there. And he said, just come on. That preacher got up there and preached, and he said, every man's a sinner, and sinner's going to hell. And I got mad. I said, man, who's this guy think he is? I'd leave there mad. And my buddy said, I don't worry, just come back next week. And so I lived like the devil from Monday to Saturday. Sunday he'd call me and say, you going with me again? I said, yeah, I'll go with you. I went down there, man, here he goes again. Every man's a sinner, and sinners going to hell. I get mad again. So boys, he said, don't worry, just come on back next week. Amen. And that's what he kept, just come on back next week.
Amen.
Six times I went. That's the sixth time I got all the way in.
Amen.
I mean all the way in. Amen. God saved me all over. Amen. Now I thought, now what am I going to do? I thought, well, I hope this don't wear off. Then I got to listen to preaching and to teaching and all, and I found out it's going to be forever, and I got real happy then. Amen. This is going to be forever. Amen. Ain't never going to end. Amen. But I found out there's a cost, and there's a cup. There's a cup to drink. Those disciples said, Lord, they told Jesus, they said, what we won't do, we won't, when you get your kingdom, we want one to sit on one side and one sit on the other side of the throne. He said, well, can you drink the cup? Can you drink the cup? Well, they drank it.
That's right.
They both drank it, amen. The Bible said Herod killed James with a sword. John, they boiled him and all, chunked him out on that island out there, and he wrote the book of Revelation, amen. There was a cost and a cup and a challenge. A challenge, amen. A challenge is a call to fight. When somebody challenges you, they're going to call you out to fight. Hey, we're in a fight.
Yeah.
I don't know if you realize or not. We're in a war.
That's right.
Amen. We're in a battle.
Yeah.
Continually. But thanks be unto God which giveth us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a war. Son, before I got saved, I liked to fight. Man, back here, Muhammad Ali and all them big guys beating each other up, we sit there and loved it. We'd stand in front of that TV and shout, man, like we saved, amen. And I mean, just get him, hit him, knock him out, and all that kind of stuff. Hey, when I got born again, I entered a fight. A good fight. A good fight. Biggest enemy I got, Mike Saunders, amen. I got to live with him every day. But there's a cup, and there's a challenge, and there's a cause. Hey, what is the cause? You know what the cause? Others. Others is the cause. All these folks out here in these homes out here, these men, women, boys, and girls, amen. Others, that's the cause.
That's right.
God says, hey, you let me take care of all the big stuff. Let me take care of the presidents and the world leaders and all that kind of stuff. And what I want you to do, I just want you to get down there in them homes and bring them men, women, boys, and girls and tell them about Jesus, get them saved. Amen. There's a cause. There's a cause. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Listen to this. When a land forgets its legends, sees but falsehoods in its past, when a nation views its sires in the light of fools and liars, 'tis a sign of its decline, and its glories cannot last. We have a goodly heritage this morning. And if you're here, if you're not saved, before I got saved, the only heritage I had was hell. My whole family was going to hell. None of us. There were no Christians in my family. If you're here this morning, you're not saved, you can trust the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And have a goodly heritage. Hey, when I got born again, I began to pray for all my kin folks, and I watched all them outlaws get saved one by one. One by one, start falling like dominoes. I mean, even the meanest of them, the baddest of them, started getting born again. The ones I give up on got born again, amen. The ones I said, Lord, you could never save Uncle J.D., and he got born again, amen. Man, once he got born again, I said, shoot, Lord, I don't doubt nothing you can do now. Amen. I believe you can do anything. Amen. Lord, have me. And hey, if you're not here this morning, you're not born again, you can have what we have, a goodly heritage of those that fear God's name. What a heritage. Amen. What a, and not only that, but Psalm 119, verse 111, the Bible says, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. We got a Bible. Oh, let me tell you something. Look here. Look here. This book.
Well, yes, sir.
God gave it to us.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What a heritage.
Yeah.
You get down and read it, and God will get down beside you and talk to you. Amen.
Yes, amen.
You look at them words on that pages, and they'll talk to you. They'll talk. It's corrected us. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This Bible will correct us.
Amen.
This Bible will cleanse us. It'll keep you clean.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to stay clean? Then you have to get your face in this book.
Yes.
It'll keep you clean.
Amen.
You can tell who's not reading it. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. And you can tell who is reading it.
Right.
The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful. You ever get to trimming your fingernails and you get down in the quick where it's alive? That's down there where there's life in there. And you hit that and it hurts. Well, the Bible said this word of God is quick. This Bible is alive.
Amen.
It's alive.
Amen.
This thing is alive.
Amen.
It'll give you life. Billions, billions, billions of books in the world. And this is the only one that'll give you life and change your life and maintain your and my life. Amen. The only book that'll do it. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No wonder people don't read it.
Yeah.
You open this Bible and read it, and it reads you.
Yes, sir.
It's alive.
Amen. Amen.
You study it, it studies you. You examine it, it examines you. You open it, it opens you up. I got slam dunked back here in 2006. I'm going down to prison down there on my motorcycle there and bought it to save gas. And this little Vietnamese woman, you know, She run a red light and T-boned me. Wham. Ripped my leg off. I mean, just in the hospital 3 months. But in those 3 months, I learned a whole lot about the human anatomy. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. It's a blessing. You need to get run over one good time. It'll help you. Amen. I guarantee you. It'll be a blessing to you. Amen. Because God will be right there with you. Amen. He'll say, how you feel? I said, man, Lord, what in the world was that? And I said, Lord, I'll be right there behind you. Amen. I'll be a little slower, but I'll be right there with you. He said, amen, we got things to do. Amen. Got things to do when you got. But I found out this Bible here is a divine MRI. It goes past the bones and marrow, and it discerns the heart.
That's right.
When you open this Bible, it'll look into your heart. And it'll show you what's wrong.
Yep. Right.
It's an omniscient X-ray. It sees right through us.
Yep.
It sees all the cracks, and it sees all the wounds, and it sees all the things that are hurting. And what it'll do, it'll just heal them. As you read it, it'll put that balm on there.
That's right.
Oh, this book is divine. It's alive. It'll heal whatever you and I are hurting from. It's calmed us. It's comforted us. It's made us about half civilized, amen, when we read it.
That's right.
It's made us considerate. Thy testimonies, Lord, are our heritage. If you're here this morning, you're not born again, you have no guide.
Yep.
But when you meet the Lord Jesus, you have a guide. Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You have someone to guide you.
Amen.
You can have peace and joy. Thy word, thy testimonies, Lord, are our heritage. Not only that, Psalm 127:3, the Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, when you have children, the best times in your life are when those children are real little.
That's right.
I mean, they'll jump up on the coffee table and they'll preach. You know, they'll memorize scripture. They'll get in there and they'll shout and praise God. But then they turn about 13 years old and they turn into people. Now you got a whole different animal, amen. You got a whole different person to deal with, amen. But the Bible says children are a heritage of the Lord. They're an inheritance of the Lord. Well, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Our children are his reward for what he's done for us. What do you get a reward for? Well, you get a reward for capturing the bad guy. At Calvary, Jesus captured the bad guy.
Amen.
He said it's finished, and he said he's finished. At the resurrection, the devil said, man, if I'd have known he was going to get up, I'd have never crucified him. Amen. Because when Jesus got up, he got the victory over the devil, sin, hell, and death. He got the total victory, amen, when he got up, amen. That devil said, man, I shouldn't have done that. What else you get a reward for? Well, you get a reward for finding something that's lost. Can you think of anything he found that was lost? Got a whole church full of them this morning. Amen. Yes, sir. You get a reward for doing something extraordinarily good. Can you think of anything the Lord has done that's good? Well, then the least we can do is give him a reward. And a reward, give him our children.
That's right.
He said, all I want you to do is train them up in the way they should go. Because when they get old enough, then I'll have to take over. Then they're going to get too big to whoop, and you can't tell them nothing. And they're their own man, they're their own woman, and all you can do is give them to God and pray.
That's right.
And ask God to do something in their life. Hey, children are a heritage of the Lord. They're a great heritage. If you're here and you're not born again this morning, hey, listen, you can have your family in here to hear the gospel. And God will do something in your children's lives. Amen. Them boys of mine, son, I mean, I had an iron clamp on them because I didn't want them to turn out like me. And I had an iron clamp on them when they were young. But son, when they got old enough, I'd just take my hands off and say, God, you're going to have to do it now. And what he's done, I mean, them boys are doing great. I mean, good God, God can take care of them kids a whole lot better than you and I can, amen. He can do a lot better job than we can do with them. And I've watched God touch them boys.
Amen.
And they're talking about God now more than they ever have in their life, amen. I just give God all the praise for it. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And then the last thing here, Exodus chapter 6, God says, and I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord, the land. God told Israel, said, I want you to go across that Jordan River and take that land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But Israel sent those spies over there, and 10 spies, and they came back, and the majority said, we can't take it because there's giants over there, and they're going to kill our children. But Caleb and Josh said, we can take it. We got God on our side. We can take that land. And they wouldn't go over. Joshua, in verse 1, he says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God told Joshua to show the people how to walk by faith as Moses did. You say, what is the land of Canaan? It's not heaven like the songs say. The land of Canaan is a life of faith. I mean, a life of complete faith in God.
Amen.
It takes a while. It took God a while to get them ready to cross that Jordan River. It takes a while for God to get you and I ready to cross over in that land, amen,
that's right.
to where there's going to be giants and there's going to be war and where there's going to be fights and God's going to have to do our fighting for us. God's got to do our fighting for us. Josh said, only be thou strong and very courageous as thou mayest observe, do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And then verse 9, God says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. That's what I said at the beginning. God is taking care of us.
Amen.
He's taking care of the land we live in, this country. And he said, just be courageous. Just go out there and get the work done. Just go out there and get with it. We have no reason not to. You know that word depression? I remember, you know, in the 80s, God was everywhere. In the 90s, God. But something happened when that thing flipped over into 2000. Something happened there, that Y2K business, you know. And then folks begin to look to Washington for answers.
Yep.
And somehow God just backed away a little bit. He said, now wait a minute. Y'all been trusting me all these years, and now you're going to put your trust somewhere else? And for the first time in our history, we start hearing the word depression in sermons. We never heard that word. Never. That's not even part of our vocabulary. Amen. Depressed. What in the world we got to be depressed about? Good God Almighty. You know, I sit there and thought about it. I figured, depression, okay? Depression. A person will be depressed because there's no pressure. Depressed. You know what I'm talking about? Depressed. You know what we need? We need pressure. We need pressure on our flesh. We need pressure on our mind. We need pressure on our soul. We need pressure on our finances. We need pressure on everything in life because that pressure keeps us close to God, and that pressure keeps us praying to God always.
Yep.
Always. Experience. Let me tell you something. You stay under pressure and keep close to God, you won't be depressed about nothing.
That's right.
What in the world we got to be... Brother Alan Jones said, if you're depressed, you ain't right with God. He put it pretty simple, amen. But God will lead us into the land. It's a heritage from our Heavenly Father. Canaan is not heaven, like I say. But Canaan is a picture of the Old Testament life of complete faith in God on this side of Jordan, in this life. Jesus said, when I get back, am I going to find any faith when I get there? We have to cultivate a profound faith in God. Because let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back, but we don't know when. And he says, until I get there, just occupy.
Amen.
Till I get there, just take the land. You know what occupy means? That's what we did in Iraq. Yeah. That's what we do all over the world, America. They go in and occupy, all right? They take over and occupy. And Jesus says, go, just occupy till I come. And he says, be courageous because I'll be with you the whole way. It's a life of trust. It's a life of integrity. We won't have to manipulate or deceive because it's a life of complete faith in God that is a heritage from our Heavenly Father. He says, as long as you stay close to me, I'll take care of everything. Just stay close. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can get born again. You can rejoice and know that God's going to lead you and guide you every step of the way. When I left Houston back in May, we had a picnic down there for the veterans at up in Brenham, Texas. And I had a fellow there, Brother John Tristan, cooking for me. I've got a big smoker, and he's over there cooking, and he got a heat stroke. Now, we're talking about him. It hadn't even got summer yet. In May, he got a heat stroke and had to go to the hospital. And so I said, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to shut everything down for the summer. It's going to be too hot to do anything outside. Wait and do it in the fall or maybe the first of the year or something like that. And so another fellow, a friend of mine, called me from Philadelphia, Mississippi and said, I need you to bring that bus and come to Mississippi. And we're going to take about 3 or 4 days, and we're going to invite all the veterans to the church. We're going to go down there and get them, bring your bus. We're going to haul them, and we're going to have about a 3 or 4 day meeting with all the veterans to get them saved. That's what sounded like a plan to me. So I took that bus, and first time I ever drove it that far, I went to Mississippi. I got to Mississippi. We had a good time there. I went to Batesville, Mississippi. Got there on Memorial Day. I pulled in there, big Memorial Day festivities in the square there in Batesville, Mississippi. Had a big part of that. And then after it was over, I was turning around going back to Houston. And God said, no, you got a conference. You got a camp meeting in Hamburg, New York. Head to New York. I said, all right, Lord, this is your deal. This is your deal. Amen. Faith.
Amen.
You see, everything we experience in life, God used it to increase our faith. So when God said, turn that bus around and head to New York, I had no idea what was going to happen. But God has led every step of the way.
Amen.
Every step. I say, all right, Lord, what are we going to do next? He said, oh, just hang on, I'll tell you in a minute. Next day, man, he just says, all right, here's what you need to do, amen, and go. You know, I mean, just to know him. Just to know him. And it just gets better and better when you know him.
Yeah.
We don't even know what we're doing, but he knows what we're doing. We got a goodly heritage this morning, folks. We got the best life. We got the good life this morning. Amen. And if you're here and you're not saved, you can have this life for nothing.
Amen.
All you got to do is ask, and he'll give it to you. If you want it bad enough, amen. We have a goodly heritage. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, this morning, Lord, for this precious Bible.
Amen.
Lord, thank you, God, for, Lord, this precious church. And Lord, I pray, God, now, Father, with Lord, you know every need in this building. Lord, you know those that aren't saved. Lord, those that are saved. And Father, we just want to thank you this morning for what you've done up to this point here in this church and our lives. And God, you've done it all. We're here because of what you've done, Father. And God, we glorify you this morning. And we ask you now, Father, as they, Lord, sing, give an invitation that you'd have your way in every heart. And we'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.